From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. Maine is joining a lawsuit brought by 19 other states and the District of Columbia against the Trump administration over its decision to restrict access to public programs based on immigration status. As Maddie Smith reports, the plaintiffs object to what they say is the administration's undoing of nearly 30 years of precedent.
The lawsuit follows guidance from the federal government in early July that said states must now screen individuals for lawful status before allowing them to access domestic violence shelters, child care, crisis counseling centers, soup kitchens, and other services. The guidance is contrary to what federal agencies have informed states during five previous presidential administrations, when it was not necessary to check immigration records to walk into a homeless shelter, for example. The lawsuit says forcing people to produce these documents in order to access vital services is, quote, not the law, and the Constitution forbids this type of restriction. It says the change will force states to dramatically restructure their social safety nets and will render them inaccessible to the country's most vulnerable. New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Vermont are also part of the lawsuit filed in federal court in Rhode Island. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Caps to federal student loans included in President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill are concerning officials at Maine's only medical school. Signed into law earlier this month, the bill sets a new lifetime borrowing limit for professional degrees at $200,000. The average University of New England medical student borrowed more than $300,000 last year. Jane Carrero, the dean of the UNE Medical School, says federal loans are favorable because they don't require students to pay during their residencies. She's worried that students will now be forced to turn to the private market, where there are often less advantageous options.
What kind of terms does the private market provide to students who don't have a lot of collateral, whose parents may or may not have a lot of collateral, may or may not be able to put that forward as a guarantee against the loan? And so it's kind of going to be the wild, wild west for a little bit.
Carrero says barriers to entry are already high for people to go to medical school, and she's concerned this will dissuade people from pursuing the profession. More than 375,000 Mainers rely on Social Security, but some are questioning its reliability. According to a study by AARP, more than three-quarters of Americans now say they worry Social Security won't provide enough to live on in retirement. The concerns have increased as the Trump administration makes dramatic changes to the organization, including cutting over 7,000 jobs and mandating in-person identity verification for most benefit applications. Bill Sweeney, the senior vice president of government affairs for AARP, says reaching a Social Security office can be a challenge, and even more so in rural areas without access to public transportation.
Even for people who live in big cities, it can be hard to get around. It can be hard to navigate public transit. If there is public transit for you, it's hard to get a ride to a field office, and to have to wait for a long amount of time to get somebody to help you is really a challenge.
AARP says customer service is lagging, with wait times often stretching over 2 hours for callbacks. And confidence is eroding. Only 36% of Americans now believe Social Security will be there when they need it. This year marks Social Security's 90th anniversary. A Nova Scotian team will face off against Maine's new professional soccer team in an international friendly match. The Halifax Wanderers and Portland Hearts of Pine will play August 6th at Fitzpatrick Stadium in Portland. Governor Janet Mills said in a release that the match is a result of her trip to Atlantic Canada last month. Mills' trip was intended to mend relations after President Donald Trump called Canada the 51st state. This is the first international match for the Portland Hearts of Pine, which is celebrating its inaugural season in the United Soccer League. Commercial fishing is one of Maine's most iconic industries. It's also one of the most dangerous. Nora Sachs attended a ceremony in Lubeck yesterday, marking the state's first official Commercial Fishing Remembrance Day and honoring Maine's lost fishermen with a mix of sorrow and resolve.
About 150 people turned out for the ceremony at the Lost Fishermen's Memorial next to the Lubeck Town Dock.
And whereas the risks faced by Maine's fishermen are real and constant.
MC and event organizer Liz Michaud started things off by reading from the governor's proclamation, declaring July 21st as a day to pause to honor fallen fishermen, support the industry, and recommit to promoting a culture of safety on and off the water. For Michaud and many others, this date has a painful significance.
2 years ago today, our family lost Tyler. He was fishing by himself on a foggy morning. He had just turned 18 years old and was weeks from starting at Maine Maritime Academy.
Tyler Michaud of Steuben was her nephew. In response to his death, she founded Green and White Hope, a nonprofit dedicated to rescuing and recovering fishermen lost at sea and preventing more tragedies through safety education and training. According to the CDC, commercial fishing is one of America's deadliest jobs, second only to logging. With its pair of granite waves, the Lost Fishermen's Memorial is a monument to the sacrifice of those lost in nearby waters. Bill Case was on the founding committee to build it.
It's also chock-a-block full of symbolism. Its location, it was my hope that every time a fisher went down that dock, it caught their eye as a reminder to come back to it rather than on it.
The memorial includes more than 120 names engraved in the stone. More have been added this year. Since January, four Downeast Maine fishermen, Chester and Aaron Barrett, Jackson Marston, and Alton Wallace, have died in fishing accidents. As a westerly wind bounced lobster boats moored on the sapphire waters of Johnson Bay behind her, Michaud is resolved not to sit only in grief.
So now we're moving our agenda on to what I like to refer to as the hope part.
And there is plenty of it. Green and White Hope is working on a guide to help communities coordinate more effective responses to fishing accidents. There are also fishermen-friendly life jackets and emerging man-overboard safety technologies that, as Pat Shepard of Ready Marine Services says, will make it so that
the vessel itself becomes the first responder.
State Representative Tiffany Strout of Harrington told the crowd that after Chet and Aaron Barrett's scallop boat sunk in January, she heard from their family, and they wanted to do something to help other fishermen. So Strout introduced a bill to create a commercial fishing safety fund, which was signed into law in June.
I hope people will refer to this law as the Chet and Aaron Rescue and Recovery Act.
The event ended with a prayer and a call to action from Annie Sokolowski, who is close to the Michaud family.
Let this day be more than memorial. Let it be a reckoning, a call to protect what we've inherited, to prepare with wisdom, and to speak for those whose voices the water has silenced.
As folks dispersed to a nearby pub, Tyler's relatives, Joyce and Jeff Maker, told me how much they wish he could have been here today and how much they appreciate how many people showed up.
Well, I think this brings the importance of safety for fishermen more to the forefront.
Maker said he hopes July 21st becomes an annual day of remembrance for all fishermen. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs in Lubeck.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the science behind Maine's special quality of light. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.